The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered the temple area and proceeded to drive out those who were selling things, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And every day he was teaching in the temple area. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people, meanwhile, were seeking to put him to death. But they could find no way to accomplish their purpose, because all the people were hanging on his words. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about this tiny little gospel here that describes the cleansing of the temple. The cleansing of the temple in which Jesus overturns the money tables. Now, here's a little passage that shows up in all four Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's at the end of Jesus' life, and it's portrayed as something that gets him in trouble, contributing to his crucifixion. Gospel of John shows up at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, but John's Gospel has the most delicious detail of all. That's the one where it describes Jesus as weaving a bullwhip out of cords with his own hands and then proceeding to drive the money changers out of the temple. So keep that in mind. Next time somebody accuses you, of not being Christ-like enough, next time somebody says you should really be more Christ-like, please remember that overturning furniture at the crack of a whip is among your list of options. So our Lord here, He's performing this mysterious task, and to understand it, we have to understand a few things of background first. So first of all, what's the temple in Jerusalem? Is that the same thing as a synagogue? It is not the same thing as a synagogue. Synagogues were all over the place. A synagogue was just a place where you gathered to pray on the Sabbath day. But there was only one temple. Temple was in Jerusalem. And it was considered to be the dwelling place of God on earth. That's what the temple was considered to be. The dwelling place of God on earth. They used to have the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, right? It was lost for hundreds of years. And it was a place of reconciliation and praise and of symbolic reconciliation with God through animal sacrifices. So this is why Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers. Why the heck are there money changers in the temple? Well, because there were animal sacrifices in the temple, and people came from all over to sacrifice an animal in symbolic reconciliation with God. So now, if you lived in Jerusalem, if you lived in the shadow of the temple, no trouble. You just take your pair of turtle doves and you walk across town. But what happens if you're coming from far away? What if you live in Egypt? What if you live in Greece? What if you have to get on a ship and travel to Jerusalem to make this symbolic sacrifice? Well, you can hardly put your turtle doves in your pocket or your lamb over your shoulder. What did you do? You bought the animal when you arrived. And that's why they had money changers here in the temple. And what they were doing is they were exchanging money at a very, very steep markup. And why is Jesus so upset? Because the love of money has been introduced into the heart of the worship of God. What did Jesus once say about love of money? Never said money was evil, but he did say, you cannot love God and love money. You will serve one and despise the other. Be devoted to one and hate the other. That's why Jesus overturns the money changers' temple, the money changers' tables in the temple. Let's talk about what this means for us. And to do it, we have to take a look at this little line that Jesus says here. My house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. You know what he does when he says that? He combines two prophecies from the Old Testament. My house will be called a house of prayer. That's a prophecy from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah once said that there would come a day in which people from all over the world would come to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. Now, that was a really amazing prophecy, considering at the time, Gentiles weren't allowed into the temple at all. In fact, there was a big wall around the temple to keep the Gentiles out, and a sign that said, cross this line under penalty of death. So it's a really astonishing prophecy to say that one day all the Gentiles would worship in the temple. That's what Isaiah said. And then you've made it into a den of thieves. That's a prophecy from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, who said that one day the great temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed because people would refuse to repent of their sins. Did these prophecies ever come true? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Was the temple ever destroyed? It was destroyed twice. It was destroyed by the Babylonians, and then it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. That's why there's no temple in Jerusalem to this day. Jesus once said, there will not be one stone left upon another, and his words came literally true. So yes, the temple was destroyed. But what about that other prophecy, that all the peoples of the world would come to worship at the temple? Did that ever happen? Yes, it did. In fact, I should say, yes, it does. Allow me to explain. What's the temple? The dwelling place of God on earth. That's the temple. Where did God really dwell when he came to earth? What's God's real dwelling place on earth? It's the person of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. The person of Jesus Christ, God and man together. That's the real dwelling place of God on earth. And the place of reconciliation between God and man, how did that happen? That happened when Jesus died on the cross. And how do all the peoples of the world come reconciled to Jesus in the temple? It happens every time we celebrate Mass. Because I want to remind you what Mass is. This is the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary made a present reality for all of us. And you're here. All of us, all the nations of the world are worshiping the true temple and being reconciled with God. So yeah, the prophecies came true. Now let's go back to how that applies to you and me. Jesus came into the temple, and at the crack of a whip, he drove out everything that was not the love of God. Did you ever look at your own life and think that Jesus wants to clean house in you too? You want to know what the real time in which you become the dwelling place of God's when you receive the Eucharist. Now look at your own heart. Ask yourself, are there not false loves deep inside your own heart that Jesus wants to get rid of? Love of money, love of power, love of comfort, love of pleasure. God wants to drive these things out. You ever stop to consider that a lot of the events in your life that drive out false loves, things we think of terrible hardships, it's Jesus enacting the cleansing of the temple all over again. He's just doing it in your heart because he wants you to be a pure dwelling place for his love. You know, we're coming to the end of another year here. One more week, it's going to be Advent, a little bit more than a week. End of the year is a great time to make a brand new beginning. And this is something to think about as we face so many hardships this year and so many hardships in our lives. Let's cooperate with Jesus as he overturns the tables, so to speak, of false loves in our own heart, so that he might say of us and of our church, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen.